إن شاء الله يكون في ترجمة بالعربي بعد الأسئلة بتاعت مايكل. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen.
The Gospel readings of tonight show that our Lord Jesus Christ, after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, after he cleanses the temple, and after he curses the hypocritical fig tree, we see what happens after that. But first, we have to realize that those three things apply to me. After his triumphal entry into my Jerusalem, into my heart, and after he cleanses the temple of my heart and removes all hypocrisy from me, then we see our Lord teaching as he did tonight in the readings. And the readings of tonight are all taken from, the majority were taken from Matthew 22, 23, 24, 25, which is after, like we said, the Lord's entry into Jerusalem, cleansing the temple and the cursing of the fig tree. Our Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us to be prepared so that we can join him where he is going. The Lord said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And he said, where I go, you know, and the way you know. So where is the Lord? Of course, we all know that the Lord is heaven, is in heaven, in the kingdom of heaven. And what is the Lord doing in heaven? He is preparing. He's preparing a place for each and every one of us. But what is this kingdom of heaven? In the Bible, we read about four meanings of the word heaven, and we'll speak about the fourth one. But first, quickly, the first heaven is the sky, the birds, where we perhaps go up in airplanes. It's the atmosphere, and that heaven will pass away along with this earth. The second heaven is the outer space galaxy where the stars and the planets are. And the third heaven is where St. Paul was taken up into the paradise of joy. It is the waiting place to enter the ultimate, the fourth heaven, the kingdom of heaven, our destination. So who is in the kingdom of heaven right now? Only our Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven is not open yet. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is there. And as we said, he's gone to prepare places for each of us. The spirits of our predecessors, the righteous and the saints, are currently waiting in the third heaven or in the paradise to enter the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven will be opened on Christ's second coming. Just as on Christ's first coming, he opened the paradise, on his second coming, on judgment day, the Lord will open the kingdom of heaven. The Lord right now is preparing a place for each one of us, and so it is only appropriate that the Lord asks us also to prepare in order for us to make it to heaven. And what is the way to heaven? Our Lord Jesus Christ clearly says, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we want to speak quickly about heaven and preparing to go to heaven. But maybe we should first answer, why is there a heaven? And to understand why there's a heaven, you have to realize that God is all holy, all pure, with no association with evil. So heaven is a place where there is no evil, no sin, no corruption, no suffering. God is so holy that he cannot stand sin. And yet, amazingly, God loves me even when I am a sinner. God hates sin, but God loves sinners. There's no contradiction between the two statements. God loves sinners, God hates sin. And just a small analogy, any parent loves their newborn baby. The same parents hate the dirty diaper of the baby. The parent loves their baby but hates the foul odor. The Lord loves his children even when they have a bad odor of sin. But you will only benefit from the Lord's love for you if you accept him, come back to him, and ask him to cleanse you, to purify you, to make you holy. And at this point, a lot of people get tripped up and they say, excuse me, you think God can cleanse me, purify me, and make me holy? How can I be holy? I cannot be holy. It's not possible. Perhaps I accept that God forgives me, but how can He make me holy? And you know what? None of us can be holy on our own. And I agree that I can't be holy, you can't be holy all of a sudden. But for sure, God is able to take each one of us and bit by bit make us holy. It is He who makes me holy by giving me Himself. The holiness and the righteousness is not from me. He is all holy and wants to give me Himself. He wants me to put on Christ, as Abuna told us on the first sermon, that we must put on Christ, not put on our own righteousness. I have no righteousness to put on. I can't depend on my own goodness. Only He is good. And He wants me to be clothed with Him. So what is my role in all this? And my part is the easy part, and it's to accept Him. And be assured He wants to forgive you. He's able to change you. And He has nailed His arms open to take you. And my role and your role is to go to Him and accept Him. And many have refused Him, yet He comes back for me. Many have shut the door in His face, yet He still comes back knocking. And many have spit in His face, yet He still comes back lovingly. What does He want with me? What does He want for me? He wants the best for me. He wants to give me what really belongs to Him alone. He wants to give me the kingdom of heaven. And what is the kingdom of heaven? The Lord describes the kingdom of heaven as a wedding banquet of the Son of the King. And in fact, the kingdom of heaven is an eternal wedding celebration of the Son of God who is wed to His beloved bride, the church, each one of us. It is a pure, holy, eternal celebration. Heaven is a place where the saints are rewarded. It's a place where there is no fear, no tears, no disease, no corruption, no darkness, no evil, no temptation, no sin. Heaven is a place full of light, full of life, full of joy, full of comfort, full of true love and the warmth of God forever. And if you remember one time when the disciples were arguing about which one of them was the greatest, do you recall what the Lord did? The Lord brought a little child in the midst of them and took the boy in His arms and said to the disciples, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." What a blessed child to get hugged by the Lord, taken into the Lord's arms. And imagine the Lord Jesus comes here today and takes you into His arms. And to me, that is heaven. What more do you need? What could fill any emptiness, any loneliness, any suffering? What greater comfort do you expect? What greater comfort can you have? So again, what do I have to do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? St. Paul reminds us that each one of us who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Each of us through baptism have been given a wedding garment, white, pure, holy. And all that we're asked to do is keep the wedding garment clean. And here again, someone can object and say, "That's not easy, it's not even possible." And I agree, it's impossible to keep myself pure, clean, holy, if I depend on my own self. But if I depend on the Lord, who alone is completely pure, clean, holy, and if I put Him on to guide me and cover me and protect me and forgive me and cleanse me, then it is not that difficult. It is not difficult at all. My problem is I often try to depend on myself too much. then perhaps I could lose hope, I could lose heart, and I could give up. And if it's important not to depend on myself to do what is impossible for me to do, I need to depend on Him who alone is able to do the impossible. He is the one who changed the adulteress into a preacher and a saint and a martyr. He's the one who accepted the repentance of the thief on the cross. He's the one who took back Peter after Peter denied Him 3 times. Do not depend on your own righteousness, because none of us can earn our way into heaven. Do not do like that foolish man did either, who tried to sneak into heaven without a wedding garment. You cannot enter heaven without putting on Christ. You cannot enter heaven without going through Christ. He is the only way. There is no other way. He is the only truth. There is no other truth. And as we read in the book of Revelation, which God willing we'll hear Friday night or Saturday morning, in Apocalypse Saturday, those in heaven are wearing white robes, and we learn the secret to their robes being white is that because they washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And one drop of the blood of our Lord Jesus is able to forgive all my sins and wipe my robe clean again. So we must join with those blessed saints who washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, in order to join into heaven, which is a holy place. And you have a place in heaven. The Lord has gone to prepare a place for each of us in heaven. The Lord is busy preparing, and it is only appropriate that we also prepare to meet Him. Don't try and find a shortcut to heaven. Don't try to sneak into heaven without being pure. You cannot. The Lord says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Trust Him. He can take you in whatever state you are in now and make you holy. That's His specialty. He has come as a true physician. Your part is easy. Accept Him. Trust Him. Accept Him. Follow Him. And accept to carry the cross with Him, that you may also rise with Him. In Revelation, we hear the Lord saying, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me." May we be worthy to reply and say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And then quickly we'll take a contemplation from the Psalm of the ninth hour. Psalm 22, verses 20 to 21 says, "Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen." And the psalm continues, and the psalmist says, "You have answered me." And indeed, the Lord has answered and says, "Don't worry. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Before you even ask me to deliver you, I've prepared the deliverance." Do you remember the 4 incorporeal creatures? One has the face of a man. One has the face of a lion. One has the face of an ox. One has the face of an eagle. These are 4 powerful angels, and they are also 4 symbols of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we see parallelism between the dangers that the psalmist is saying, "Lord, protect me from this," and the word of God in the 4 Gospels. When the psalmist says, "Deliver me from the sword," who carries swords? Humans, men. "Deliver me from the sword of man," and the Lord says, "I give you the Gospel of St. Matthew, whose symbol is a man." When the psalmist says, "Save me from the lion's mouth," the Lord says, "I give you the Gospel of St. Mark, who's symbolized by a lion, who is more powerful than any other lions." When the psalmist says, "Save me from the horns of the wild oxen," the Lord says, "I give you the Gospel of St. Luke, who is symbolized by a sacrificial oxen, not a wild oxen." The wild oxen is to stab. The sacrificial oxen is to give itself or himself on our behalf. And when the psalmist says, "Deliver my precious life from the power of the dog," the Lord says, "Don't worry about the dogs that want to drag you down to the earth. I give you the Gospel of John, who is symbolized by the eagle that soars up to heaven." Glory be to God forever. Amen.